the unwashed masses now have the iPhone. The only people who've had the iPhone up to now, besides Steve Jobs and the inner circle at Apple, are USA Today, Wall Street Journal, New York Times, and Newsweek. The four reporters there have had it for 2 weeks. They've reviewed it. And frankly, now that we've seen the iPhone, I think they were very gentle with it. Kind of what you'd expect when you get special treatment from Apple. And I haven't said a lot about it because I know it sounds like sour grapes. Oh, they didn't give me an iPhone. But the truth is, it isn't sour grapes. It's something that's always concerned me. When you get special treatment from a company, it's hard to say nasty things to the company's face. It's one of the reasons I buy the equipment I review. I don't deal with PR people from the companies. At least I avoid it as much as I can, as they well know. And I try not to have dinner with them and hobnob with them, because I want to be able to say really rude, nasty, mean things if I have to about their products. Sometimes journalists sometimes get confused about who their audience is. And I think it's tough for people like Walt Mossberg at the Wall Street Journal, because he isn't speaking to you and me. He's speaking to the financial markets and companies and so forth. But I'm very clear who butters my bread. It's you. It's the users. And I try to be a user, and I am a user, and I remember that, you know, we're users, and we're the ones who are going to have to plunk down $500 or $600 for this thing, this iPhone. And I think in many ways I would have liked to have seen more of the negatives. As we've played with it, you know, it hasn't taken more than 24 hours for some of these negatives to come out that they didn't mention. I just was looking at PC World. 10 things to love, 10 things to hate about the iPhone. And they pointed out stuff that's absolutely true that I didn't even think about. I will as I use it, but there's no to-do list on it. There's no to-do list. There's no, the notes program doesn't sync. Should sync with stickies on the Mac, at least. It doesn't. You write notes on your iPhone, they're just there. That's it. There's no voice dialing, which makes it impossible to use with a hands-free in your car. These are not insignificant. Whether they're a deal breaker depends a lot on you and how you want to use the phone. I mean, there's some wonderful things, as we've said. I mean, the user interface is revolutionary. It's beautiful. It's a work of art. But you have to look at how you use a cell phone or a portable, it's really more than a cell phone, a portable, you know, smartphone, a portable computer. You have to look at how you use it and whether the things that are missing are critical to you. If a to-do list is really important to you, you're not going to like this, because you can't add a to-do list on your own. You could use one on the web. But Apple is so far not allowing anybody else to write applications. Apple controls this phone very tightly. I said at the beginning of the show today, and I think I stand by this, the iPhone shows everything that is good and bad about Apple on one device. They make beautiful objects of art that everybody wants. They're geek fetish objects. And yet they're arrogant. They believe, and it starts at the top with Steve Jobs, that they know how something should be. And by golly, it doesn't matter what you think. A perfect example is the one-button mouse, which Apple stuck with way too long, and even when they did finally come out with a mouse that had a right-click, it didn't do it right, because they don't believe in it. They don't think it's right. Steve says, no, you shouldn't have two buttons on a mouse. I don't like that. I'm not going to do it. Steve says you don't need third-party applications on the iPhone. We're not going to do it. And what Steve says, Steve gets. Apple's run as a tyranny, as a dictatorship. Been very good for Apple. I'm not saying it's a bad thing, but it is something that consumers should consider when you go out and you look at a $500 or $600 phone. You're going to be swayed by its beauty. You're going to say, "Ooh, pretty," but you should think about how you use a phone before you buy it, because there are things you will find. Wow, no video. The camera's rudimentary. It doesn't zoom. You can't do any white balance. You can't correct it in any way. I mean, it's fast, it's 2 megapixels, but when you take a picture, you either have to email it or you have to wait till you get home and sync it up to your computer. There's lots of things like this. If you're at all on the fence, I would wait, I would read more reviews. We will see now lots more reviews now that the unwashed masses, the journalists who aren't on the magic list, get to see it. And I think they will be more objective and they will be more thorough. The Newsweek, USA Today, the New York Times, and the Wall Street Journal. I think that we're going to see much more important, valuable reviews from those people. You know, the PC Worlds, the CNETs, the PC Magazines. And I think that they're going to agree with me that this phone is a work of art. It's beautiful. It changes the way we think about phones and handheld devices, but has some glaring, significant issues.